for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you. Listen,
from the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice.
When the Son of Man shall come into his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he be gathered all the nations, and shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a shepherd, and ye took me in. Naked, ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when was thee hungry, and fed thee, a thirsty, and gave thee drink? When was thee a stranger, and took them in, or naked, and clothed thee? And we saw thee sick, or in prison, and come unto thee. And the king shall answer unto them, Verily, I say unto you, and much so as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visit me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when was thee a hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inmuch so as you did not to one of these, ye did not to me. And then shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous shall inherit eternal life.
Welcome to Hope Radio 98.7. Yeah, I know she reading from Parallel Bible. So that was pretty awesome. So welcome. We have awesome group of guests today. Our room is full. So we have the usual suspects, Rob, Billy Sunday, Bobby Sunday, Eric, Big E. Y'all gonna say hi? Look at the mic. Really?
Bobby Sunday. Good morning, y'all.
Wow. Rachel.
Hello.
Affirmative Action Program. By our wives insisting that we have a female voice. Right, Rachel?
Amen.
Amen. Glenn, who's finally off of the road for a little while. So he joins us today. And then we have a plethora of guests here. Many of you, we introduce you to Jose, the assistant superintendent in a house of correction. And he's bought a few friends, which we'll introduce in a second. Returning with us is Pastor Cornelius and Vente.
What's up? What's up? What's up? Amen.
Yeah, Vente is here. And then Gary from Salvation Army.
Grace and peace. Good morning.
We're sharing mics, so just love. And then we have a special guest, Alex, who works at the Salvation Army also.
Hello.
You know what? I have never seen such shy people on a mic. I mean, all right. And then we got our special guest, Pastor Aaron from Shepherd of the Hills.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
And
the man.
The legend.
The myth. The legend.
The guy that makes it happen, our executive producer, Malcolm
Macedonia.
Now, we want to introduce this last guy. And some of you may know him from the Free at Last Ministry. And as we welcome him, we want to say, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Welcome, Pastor Ephraim.
Amen. And I'm going to throw this. If praises goes up, blessings comes down.
That's the new track.
It's really an honor to have Pastor Ephraim here. I've been knowing him for a little while now, and he's a chaplain at the House of Corrections. And him and the ministry that him and Jose have been doing in the House of Corrections is just phenomenal. And it's interesting because Pastor Ephraim, as a chaplain, serves all those guys equally spiritually without compromising his Christian stance, you know. And so he, the uniqueness of the way he respects even the guys that profess to be Muslim or any other religion, he still respects and cares for them. And that's one of the unique things I found out about him. So, we're continuing our discussion on the new lepers, and today's discussion is going to be a little sensitive, and I want to do a disclaimer and let people know that as we talk about the returning citizens, we are full aware of the crimes that they committed, and at no time are we excusing any behavior, any past behavior, or anything to that effect. And each guest that we have that's been in the correctional system have fully accepted the responsibility of their actions. The conversation that we're having is the unforgiveness toward them as they return to try to get back to a normal life after committing crimes. And so we're going to talk about the sex offender, you know, one of the most difficult subjects to have, because the way things are kind of set up in the city of Milwaukee, the sex offender, it's very difficult to find a place to live. It's very difficult for them to get a job because of the nuance of their offense. And so what we want to talk a little bit about, first of all, is we have a guest, Vente, who's kind of on the forefront. And we're not going to go into the details of any particular offense because we want to respect our audience and people that might have gone through sexual offenses and things like that. So we're not going to go into details, but we are going to ask Vente to kind of give us a testimony of what is the difficulty you faced. And then we'll talk about the other stuff. But when you came out, what are some of the difficulties you're facing right now as a former offender, sex offender?
Well, one of the main challenges that I face is, you know, assisting people and influencing people to retrust me, you know, me, because as you stated earlier, you know, me, I have committed an offense, you know, in my past in 99. And, you know, due to that, you know, naturally people have concerns as to whether I'm going to reoffend or am I truly rehabilitated and am I in compliance with my parole, I mean, my extended supervision, and doing all the things that need to be done in order for me to be really, you know, rehabilitated and, you know, get my life in order. So the challenge is regaining society's trust in me, you know, being out here in the society and doing the right thing, being a upright citizen and being a righteous endeavor out here in the community and not just pretending that I'm, you know, rehabilitated, you know, but actually I am, you know, actually proving to them that I am rehabilitated. And that's, you know, that's the challenge, because, you know, if I was them and I was in their shoes, I would feel the same way about me, you know, returning to as a returning citizen. So I don't, I'm not against, you know, their view of me. However, I do expect, you know, to be given an opportunity to show that, you know, I am rehabilitated and I am on the right path in life today versus what, you know, my path in 99.
Now, real quick, Pastor Ephraim, in the ministry Free at Last, do you kind of warn returning citizens, you know, about the prejudices that they'll face as given certain offenses?
Well, in Free at Last, we accept everybody that comes in there. And, you know, when they come in, and they don't forget what Jesus have said to his disciples, that we should all do good and make disciples of all nation. Mm-hmm. To everybody, he didn't separate a sex offender or separate the guy that robbed somebody with a gun.
Right.
He didn't separate. He said all nations, so he include everybody. So when they come in, and the name Free at Last, we all have sinned, but now we are free. Amen. In Jesus Christ. So when they come in, we do accept them, and we talk to them, and we see that they all wants to change, and I think, you know, they should be given a chance in the community just to start striving again, so that you know, because God loves them.
Right.
So we do accept them.
Okay. Amen. And so, and the Cornelius and Glenn, you could chime in on this as well. What is the difference? Do you see any difference in the prejudices from a sexual offender and an offender that doesn't have that status? Because again, Cornelius, as your testimony, yours is very unique because you were defending your sister, you know?
Yeah, I don't see it as being different, because even though I was in prison, it wasn't a sexual offense. However, I'm a leper too, I'll put it like that. I've been out 20 months now, after 27 years in, and I'm facing a lot of those obstacles with employment, housing. Mm-hmm. You know, some would tell you that that's what they're doing. That's the reason why they're discriminating against you. And I actually appreciate them. Mm. It's the ones who don't tell you that, you know, leave you in doubt. But it happens. But, you know, it's to be expected. I can't let that stop me. I have to continue doing what I have to do in order to prove that I am who God says I am, not who man says I am. You know, the word of God says, you shall know them by their fruits. Look at me. Don't judge me. Look at me.
Amen.
I'll show you where I'm coming from.
And that's awesome, because Glenn is and he's part of the Captive Project Corps and has a job. How did you make your transition?
Basically, I really just stayed focused. I really didn't focus on the obstacles. I just had a determination that God had given me just to move forward. And I focused on the things that were issues, because I know all things are possible through him. Now, I do have to say, in the beginning, because my father is a sex offender, but I never knew him. And sometimes we could think they're different offenses, but at the same time, I took from people. as well as a sex offender can take something from an individual which caused them emotional abuse, right, physical abuse. As an addict and the crime that I was incarcerated for, I took from people too. And it brought them emotional and physical abuse as well. Right. So now that I, you know, when we look through Christ's eyes, we can see it different from a different perspective as the world would see it. But there's really is no different.
Well, I don't know about that, because in my, you know, discipleship with Vente and his testimony, it doesn't seem like a lot of other returning citizens have to leave every day or every 3 days because they can't establish residency and stuff and things like that. I mean, I know there is an overall prejudice. Like I got that, as you said, because of the felony and the lack of trust. But literally the sex offender is a vagabond. I mean, he or she is literally having to move every 3 days or every day and taking their belongings and moving from spot to spot just to survive. And we're talking about Milwaukee. I know that there's other areas that they can live, because in ministries like Free at Last and Marty Calderon, you know, they help find those spots where they can stay. But if all you know and all your family is in Milwaukee, you born and raised it, and it's not like Milwaukee is a small city. I mean, it's the largest city in Wisconsin. And so I understand there's a general prejudice, but you know, Vente, you've run into some serious, like, residential issues, if I'm right, right?
Correct. See, here's the thing, right? And I want to make this known to the public. You know, you have to travel, like, as he said, every day. So it's not you don't get no relaxation. You don't get no a point where you just able to stabilize and, you know, you gotta understand this. Well, we gotta understand this also. Along with traveling every day from a place, you know, from different places, you don't know whether you're sleeping on the floor, the couch, you know, or whatever the case may be, you know, in the hallway, you know what I mean? And then we in the process of that, we have to work a job, we have to go to college, we have to see an agent once a week, we have to go to SOT once a week, you know, ALDA once a week, see a psychologist and a psychologist once a week. So it's other things tacked on to, you know, going from place to place every day.
But why do you have to travel every day?
Because of an ordinance that's been brought about in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that says that we can't live anywhere in the red area, but only in the white dots on the map. And if you was to go online and do the research, you know, Google that, you'll be able to, the map is public. So everybody can look at that map and see how small of areas that we are legally allowed to establish residency in, mm-hmm. in the city of Milwaukee.
And what's interesting is that in conjunction with that, a lot of ministries that have housing, you can't take advantage of either, because most of the people in that housing are returning citizens that you're not supposed to be hanging around. Mm. And so it's really a powerful catch-22. Mm. You know, in this, and then of course with school choice, where just about there's a school, you know, almost everywhere once, you know, that happens. And again, I want to reiterate, we're not talking about Vente or anybody else not accepting the responsibility of what they did. It's just, the Lord has me on track, and I'm doing, like you mentioned, Ephraim, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but I'm constantly getting beat down.
Yeah, so I'm coming from the suburbia, right? I'm coming from a white church, and over the years, no matter where I've been, in Missouri, Illinois, Wisconsin, there's been a very clear I guess, stigma placed on sex offenders.
Most definitely.
And you see it from, and it's subtle, but here's a way I've seen it where someone will send an email and say, hey, have you checked out the sex offender registry for our community?
Yes, sir.
And I've seen people in whatever church I've been part of, I've seen them kind of literally build walls because they're not allowing someone into their neighborhood. They're like, we can't have that individual here. Yeah. And these are Christian brothers and sisters who are saying this. I've seen people in a church when they found out that another brother in Christ in that church was a sex offender, they left that church. Because they weren't going to have fellowship with someone who has been rehabilitated back, who's another member of society. But so I'm echoing what Richard's saying, that this is a very real a challenge. And as Cornelius said, a leper, anybody with a criminal record, I suppose, is kind of has that stigma. But there is a unique and a very challenging label placed on anyone who has been labeled a sex offender.
And that's why I was kind of saying, in my eyes, there's no difference.
Right.
Right.
But that's the attitude that Christians should have. It's like, and we're not talking about devoid of wisdom. Right. Okay, we're not talking about, we're forgetting. Because when God says, I will remember your sins no more, let's look at that logically, of course. Where God can't forget, what the actual translation is, I'm not charging that offense to you anymore. As far as the East is from the West, which... Incidentally, my digression, do you know why the Lord said not as far as the north from the south? Because if I head north, I'll eventually begin to go south. But if I head east, I'm always heading east and I never hit my sin again. I just threw that one in there. That was, I don't know. But the reality of it is, your attitude is the attitude that Free at Last has, that many people that we minister has. The question is, how do we get the rest of the body of Christ to act like the body of Christ? And Aaron, and we'll talk about this a little bit in our next section, but you have gotten people down into the house of corrections that have left their comfort zone, and to this, more than 50 people. You've opened up a ministry where people are dedicated from the suburbs to come down and minister and invest in these lives. Why aren't you fishing? I mean, you are part of an awesome church, in the suburbs, financially affluent. You could just minister to your congregation, just what God called you to do and where you are, and just enjoy the beauty of that. But you want to come down here and help transform people's lives, people you don't even know. I mean, didn't grow up with. I mean, where are you from? Where did you grow up?
Northern Illinois.
Okay, well, we forgive you for that.
Pretty rough place.
But from Chicago. Why have you invested in this type of ministry? And don't give me the cliche answer, because God called me. Well, we know that, but when God calls, he's called because he's gifted. People see it and you have a desire for it. I want to know where your desire for this ministry came from.
So, I've been in the area for about 3.5 years now. So I should say, before I got here, I mean, I came to a church that already had a heart for service, a heart for hospitality, a heart to welcome anybody and everybody in the name of Jesus. So here I am coming into a church now with an opportunity to just kind of follow where doors are being opened. I've seen Jose Hernandez literally open doors at the House of Correction for Christian brothers and sisters to come in. I've seen Chaplain Effa Makani open doors to allow volunteers to come in and just simply share. I've seen lots of opportunity that, and I do believe the Holy Spirit is at the head of. He's opening these doors for us to help brothers and sisters just connect.
And we'll continue this conversation in our next section, where we talk about the need for you to get involved as a Christian community. 98.7 Hope Radio.
Hope Radio 98.7. Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. on your FM dial. You can also like us on Facebook at Hope Radio, or you can check out our live streams on Discipleship Radio.
Or check out the website, www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or hit us with an email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or drop us a line at
414-771-6000. In his name, man.